Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Tuesday, November 10th, 2015. I am pleased to have Greg Hunter of USAWatchdog.com joining us in just a few minutes. And topics today will include the Fed, interest rates, and, of course, gold. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Looking forward to having Greg Hunter on today. But first, let's get started right away with the market report. Gold today, a lot of pressure still on the metals today, down another 450 for gold at 108.8. Silver was down 16 at 14.52. Platinum was still down big, 13, about 1.5% at 903. And I don't see much change in palladium. Let me see if I can bring that up. Basically shows not much movement, 602 for the day. And by doing that, I just froze my computer. There we go. The USDX today, stronger, 0.21, 99.24. Crude oil up 0.21 at 44.08. And the paper markets today, they were down most of the day. Of course, they always reverse at the end of the day, up 27 points, 17,758. Give the NASDAQ down 12 at 5,083. And the S&P is up 3 at 2,081. The 10-year yield, 2.32%, down 0.02. The euro, of course, down 0.34, 107 for the euro. And Asian and European markets, Hong Kong was down about 1.5%, which equals about 325 points. And everything else was basically flat across the board. So that's it for the markets today. Again, a little pressure in gold and silver. The white metals certainly have been hit hard here of late. And good afternoon, Al. Did I say hi to you?
I don't know. You did yesterday. I remember that for sure.
Probably the day before, maybe.
Yeah, maybe
the next week I did. Last week I did.
Yeah. I don't remember for today though.
Okay.
Short-term memory, you know, it's a problem. You get it to be an elderly person.
I'm sorry to hear
problems.
About that.
It doesn't bother me. I don't remember it anyway, Melody. We talk about it now, and it doesn't even disturb me. A minute or two from now, won't remember it. So, what can I say?
Well, one thing, while we wait to have Greg Hunter, yes, he's not here yet. He'll be joining us in about another 5 minutes. We're going to talk about the Fed, but today they announced that Neil Kashkari was named president of the Minneapolis Federal Reserve today. But he's the one who oversaw the U.S. government's $700 billion bailout of banks during the troubled times after 08. And I guess we were just informed that Greg Hunter is on the line with us. So let's say hello to Greg. Good afternoon, Greg.
Hello, Greg.
Hello, Melody. How you doing?
Oh, just
Greg. Yeah, this is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Some of the best interviews on the internet that are available that you can find. He's got a stable of guests that are probably just about as broad and significant as anyone. I don't know, is there anyone, I wouldn't expect you to point out a competitor is doing as well, but I can't think of anyone who's doing a better job than you are rounding up guests and delivering, you know, important and interesting interviews. USAWatchdog.com. Well, it's just that I'm not trying to, you know, kiss up and the rest of that sort of thing. I'm just saying.
Kiss up, fine. I like
no,
kiss up.
Yeah, he is.
No, I'm not.
But you do a great job. It really does, and it's something that needs to be done because there's just so much misinformation out there. And you know, knowing you for the short period of time that I have, you get to the point and you get to the truth.
Let me tell you, the other guys are watching. They're watching the other mainstream media outlets. They're watching because I have people tell me all the time they do better on my enterprise. I mean, best-selling on Nomi Prinz, Michael Pinto used to be a regular on CNBC. Now he's on Fox Business. All these guys tell me all the time, whoa, man, you get a lot more traffic than all these ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. Oh, you get way more traffic. And I found out I do get a lot of traffic, more than even my Google Analytics says. I got a couple other metrics to use, but it's funny. It's the truth is it sells, and I would be doing this on ABC, NBC, CNN, and I was doing that on CNN. I was on CNN before the market crashed. I was saying that it would completely crash, that the banks were all in trouble. And then we were in a recession. Lo and behold, I was right. We were. They want that. I'll tell you something else. Here's something really sad. Here's something really. You want to hear something sad? You want to hear a good story from the networks?
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Remember, so 9/11 happens. I'm out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I don't see the video for a year. I don't see any of this. I'm listening to it on the radio as I'm driving because my wife's in New York City, and I'm driving from Colorado Springs, Colorado. I mean, it's just all the planes are grounded. I go to the airport and at 2001, and I try to rent a brand new Chevy Impala. You know that body style. I'm sorry, we can rent you a Lumina. Where are you going? I said New York. We'll rent you a Lumina. I couldn't believe it. They wouldn't rent me a nicer car. They rented me a Lumina. And so sure, fine, great, fine. You know, let me have it. So I'm driving across the country. I'm going to get home to my wife. And, you know, it's sad, all the flags at half-mast, all this. And I'm listening to all this on the radio, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this is a Superfund site. This is a mess. And so I get back to, I was working for Good Morning America, and they had all these people down on the robopile. Whenever you did a story at the networks, you had to know what the outcome was. You never saw Mike Wallace turn around to his cameraman going, what? You said, huh? Oh, this is not a story. Have you ever seen that on 60 Minutes or any investigation? No. So I'm driving across, and I'm thinking to myself, I have to make this case, so I have to find somebody who will say what I think, and if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. I'm not going to do a story based on, I'm just talking about logical deduction. There's, you know, I mean, 30 floors of Power One had asbestos in it. And that's, I mean, come on, the whole building's imploded. I mean, you know, I thought there was asbestos in both of them, but they stopped the asbestos spraying in the early 70s because they figured out it was toxic. And the guy I was going to get on from Caesars Sinai Hospital, his mentor, the guy he trained with, figured out that asbestos was cancer-causing. That's how good the guy was. And I called him on the phone and said, hey, what will you say about this? What can you say about this? Because I have to go to my boss and pitch this story. And it was going to cost a lot of money. It was a local story. He goes, oh, everybody on that pile ought to have a respirator. I said, what about those little cloths? Oh, no, that's like having a sock on your face. No, that's nothing. They really should be in a full hazmat suit. But at the very least, everyone should have a respirator. I thought I was going to get sent down to ground zero. And remember Christine Whitman, you know, the governor of New Jersey that ended up being at the EPA. Oh, the air is fine. I'm thinking it can't be fine. How could it be fine? They put on the sensors on the west side of the island. The wind typically blows from west to east. It blows from west to east. So, you know, they should have had it on the east side of the island, and they would have gotten a nose full. But, of course, you know, stock market's down there. And so I was going around New York City to a place called Janovic Hardware, and I was buying respirators. I mean, something you could paint a car in with the screw-on metal thing. So I thought I was going to get sent down there. I ended up finding five respirators. And, I mean, and Rudy Giuliani was the mayor at the time. I was going to go to the mayor and say, hey, whoa, you got to stop this. Everybody down on that pile, wherever they make these, you should have them fly in a plane of respirators. Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. They wouldn't do the story at ABC. I called World News Tonight. They chuckled, laughed at me. I'm serious. I expensed the respirators. I bought five of them. They're about $150. I didn't ever use them. I was never sent down there. I thought I was going to get, first and foremost, I thought I was going to be sent down there, all hands on deck, right? Well, by the time I got back and I came up with this story, and nobody came right out and put in an email, no, we're not going to do this story. They just, yeah, thanks, no, I can do it. You know, they just verbally, we're not going to do that. Call World News Tonight. Listen, you guys got to do this story. Those people down there, remember that? They had everybody ready at I was living in New York City. They had everybody ready at the emergency rooms. Nobody showed up.
What do you mean?
They
expected survivors, is what you're saying.
No, boom. They didn't. No, they threw people off the side of. They jumped off the damn building before the things imploded. I mean, hundreds were jumping off the damn building. It was gross. I did a story about a guy doing an urban parachute, which is unbelievably crazy and stupid that somebody was going to jump off the side of a base jump if they were in a high-rise building. I mean, you know how many, you have to have hundreds of jumps before you even try that, which is pure insanity, incidentally. I would never tell, even if you have hundreds, you never jump off of it. It's totally illegal. It's totally dangerous and crazy. And he was going to sell this to the public, and I skewered him. But back to the story at hand, was, everybody should have had a respirator, and I had the top occupational hazard guy at Caesar Sinai Hospital, MD, renowned. Oh yeah, man, everybody down there. They're several blocks away, I mean, not so much, but if you're anywhere on that pile, anywhere near the crash site, oh yeah, full respirator. Really? He said, you need a hazmat suit, but a full respirator. What's the news about all these people, the fun that they had, and all the
We've
dogs died, and all these people getting lung cancer, and all this? What is the news you're hearing now?
Yep, we're hearing that they're coming down.
Todd Whitman? She lied and people died.
Yeah.
Where is she? She lied.
Let me ask you this.
People died.
When you tried to pitch that story on the respirators, do you think that the editors or whoever you had to talk to make the story, pitch the story to, do you think they rejected the story just because they didn't get it? Was it just a kind of ignorance and it wasn't dramatic enough right now? Is that what it was? Some people are going to hear that story and they're going to think, maybe there was a conspiracy not to make that, report that. Did you think it was a conspiracy or just ignorance?
Alfred, I don't know why they wouldn't do the story. I laid it all out. It wasn't like, hey, we ought to do a story about them doing respirators. Oh, no. I wrote it up. I said, here's who we can get on. Here's his credentials. You know, that's how I knew that 30 floors. He told me, oh, yeah, that 30 floors, at least 30 floors. That's a lot, incidentally. You know, 30 floors in the building, that's just the asbestos. That's just the asbestos. That doesn't count all the fluorocarbons and all the other, Superfund site, I'm telling you. And, you know, that's where Wall Street is. They're talking about how that, what's his name, who's ended up suing, got Wall Street open in a week. Well, how do you think that would have handled it? Everybody would have had to have respirators downtown Manhattan. Nobody would have come to work!
Yeah.
I mean, right? You're going to walk down to a Superfund site where the top epidemiologist, the top occupational hazard guy, MD, at Caesar Sinai Hospital, say everybody needs to have a respirator. Right? So,
yeah, I understand.
I don't know what the motivation
is,
Alfred. Was it stupid?
I mean, it would have been,
I don't know. Was it that they didn't want, you know, the idea was they thought they were going to find people. And I was even telling my bosses, listen, these people, I don't mean to sound rude, but the people who were in those buildings, either they got out or they died. Period. The end. The people we have to worry about are the people on that damn pile down there. Oh, hell to the no.
It was the second.
I told my bosses that. I was very overt. I remembered this like it was yesterday. I was watching this on TV last night thinking, oh, my God, I could have stopped that. That story could have helped a
there
lot
were
of people.
Tragedies here.
Incidentally, the respirators should have had these were high dollar respirators. These weren't like a little mask, like you paint, you know, like some little dust mask. These were things that had screw on, screw off metal cartridges down to 5 microns. I did my homework.
Well, we had
and that you could have had that respirator, and you could have changed the cartridges. You could have had Giuliani said, I don't know who the hell makes these, but we need these in here tomorrow. And that wasn't even a gotcha story. I wasn't going to go there and, oh, Mr. Mayor, you're an ass for not having. No. I wasn't going to do that. Was just, hey, this is a top epidemiologist says we ought to have respirators down there. Everybody ought to have a respirator. That wasn't even a gotcha. I'm neither Democrat nor Republican. It had nothing to do with whether Giuliani was good or bad or whether the government was. I think the government lied. I think Christy Todd Whitman, but Jesus, evil. Evil. That she put those snifters up on the east side of the island. Anybody who lives in New York knows, well, the wind blows from the east to the west. Well, they're going to get clean stuff from the air. Oh, it's great. Wall Street can open. It's just fine. Now, the guy said, 5-10 blocks away. No, but down there on that pile, near that pile, hell yes, you need a respirator. They killed that story. I got laughed at. I even called World. I worked at Good Morning America, right? And I had this laid out. It wasn't like I just had some pipe dream of anybody should have a respirator. No. I have sources. I have people that will go on camera. These are good people. These people, this is not a political thing. This is a safety thing. I know for a fact we need this, and here we need it. Why? And we need a respirator for 5 microns, and it has this and this and this and asbestos and hydrocarbons and whatever the hell else, whatever the stuff in plastic is and all the other crap. There was tons, I don't know, a variety, metal, zinc, you name it, it was aspirated down there.
Well,
and they killed it.
They're
willing to kill people in the lower end of Manhattan. I say kill people, I mean be that damn reckless for money. Do you think they're going to warn you about your 401k and your bank closing and your whatever else they're doing? Do you think they're going to warn you?
No, you can't. The government is not here to help you.
Despite what
they say, they are here to help special interests. They are here to help banks that are too big to fail, people that are too rich to jail. That's who they're actually serving more so than we the people. And it's sad. It's one of those things you say and you sound like you're being radical, hyperbolic, or whatever, but it does appear to be the truth, at least to me. Do you agree? Are they here to serve us, or are they here to serve the special interests?
Well, I think they'd want to tell you they're here to serve us, but look at the secret trade deal they just did. I mean, it's a secret, and some of the stuff is classified for 4 and 5 years. And so who do they serve? Is that for we the people or we the corporations?
And who are they keeping that secret? Why is it – who is being kept in the dark? Is it our enemies or is it the American people?
The answer is
the American people. We're the ones that are being kept in the dark on this. I mean, other people may or may not be able to get access to the information. But isn't it true that the American people are the ones they're trying to deceive?
Well, I mean, what they want to tell everybody is, what that word they've stopped saying in the press? I don't know if you noticed this or not, but my slogan is analyzing the news to give you a clear picture of what's going on. Do you know the word that they finally stopped using in the press as of a couple of months ago? Recovery. The recovery.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't heard it for some time.
They pretty much have stopped using that word, the recovery. And I would be on their ass every week with stories and stuff about the recovery. And, people are like, well, why hasn't it collapsed yet? Well, it's collapsing. This is kind of like, coming over to a fall and the speeds up and speeds up and speeds up and, the fall in front of you, let's say it's Niagara Falls. Okay, now 2 miles up the river, you can roll over to the side. It'll take a while. Current's pretty strong. It'll take you a while. You can get over to the side. And the closer you get to that fall, the less chance it is for you to get over to the side.
Yeah.
That's what we got coming. And I just got somebody here. Let me read this to you. Hold on.
Why don't you hold off on that? We're going to take a commercial break right now. Greg, we're here with Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. We will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. When we broke for commercials, Greg was going to read something to us. And I just want to say one more thing before Greg gets to reading. You know, USAWatchdog.com, we were complimenting Greg at the beginning of the program on the quality and number of guests that he has. But it's not just about the guests. Those people appear on other programs as well. And what really is great about USAWatchdog.com is the quality of the questions. You are able to deliver a depth of interview that we can't find in other sources, and that goes, from my opinion, more to the questions than just guests. You can get great guests on there. Doesn't say anything if you don't ask any intelligent questions. So the point I want to make is a common denominator in USA Watchdog, and its superior performance is the host. That's Greg Hunter. Now, Greg had – he was going to read something, and what was that, Greg?
Well, I'm going to tell you this, is I think, is a marker. This is capitulation. And here's I've been getting this. I'm a longtime fan, and I've been watching and reading your material for years now, ever since 08 crisis. Well, actually, I wouldn't know until 09, but that's okay. Even got my wife to watch many of your videos. She has zero interest in politics, economy, money in general. I'm an average middle-class white-collar worker. And then he goes on to say, if I hire a broker who says A, B, and C, and he turns out to be X, Y, and Z, in the process I lost a ton of money, I would have fired him. I would tell everyone to run the other way. I hired a real estate agent to find me investment property, and he was 100% wrong, and I tried I would not rehire him. I would fire him and tell everyone to run the other way. You keep bringing these experts, in quotes, and you tout as all-knowing, making great calls, and yet they've been dead wrong for the past 4 years. Actually, they haven't been dead wrong for the past 4 years. Catherine Austin Fitz said there wouldn't be a collapse in 13 and 14. She was correct. Gregory Mannarino said that the market topped out in May of this year. He is correct. There's plenty of good calls, but you know, anyways, for the long and short of it is, what he's saying is that, well, I've been wrong. And I wrote him back and said, you have a trading mentality. You're trading. What is coming, folks, and please listen to this. I know how to source a story. I know when I'm on a story and I get the right story. This is nothing short of a paradigm change. This isn't going to be, oh, gold's going to go to 3,000 or 4,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 or, oh, I'm going to be rich. You know what the world's going to look like when gold's $100,000 an ounce? The dollar will be gone by then. There'll be a new dollar. This is a paradigm change of biblical proportions. When this finally goes, this is going to be, you know, as in the days of Noah. Can you imagine a world with no currency? Can you imagine a world where the bonds that have been assets for the last 30 years are no longer assets, they're back to being what they really are, liabilities? This isn't a trade. This is a survival strategy. This is going. When this goes, this is going to go fast and ugly, and people are going to die.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with this.
I can't impress upon you enough. And what I am doing is marking the fraud. I am reporting on the fraud. I'm reporting on the news, which ain't news. I mean, the Ben Carson thing. Let's just look at the latest Ben Carson thing. Marco Rubio at the debates, and I'm not a Republican. I'm a journalist, but I know what the truth is. I know what objectivity is. And he says, you know, the mainstream media, and I worked in the mainstream media for 9 years, is the ultimate super PAC. He is correct. I worked at ABC and CBS, and I have a job offer for both those, CNN, and he is correct. It's totally biased. And if you tell people, hey, man, you're biased, because as an investigative reporter, hey, I couldn't be biased. I had to be right on the money, right on the screws. I had to be perfect. I had to be right. Not biased, not what I think it should be or what I want it to be. The story has to be what it is. And Rubio talked about how, you know, hey, you know, they're talking about his damn credit card, and you got the Clinton Foundation. He spent $20,000 on an RNC credit card, which he says he paid back. Okay. And she's raked in $500 million in an obvious play-to-pay scandal. Now, he brought up the fact that Hillary Clinton, she got outed as a liar. She lied. She told her daughter it was a terrorist attack. She told the president, the two leaders of India, two leaders of Libya and Egypt, that it wasn't a video. It was a protest. It was an Al-Qaeda-related terror attack. Then she's out saying, we're going to get that guy. They arrested a guy. She lied. She was a point person on the lie. She's a liar. And what does the mainstream media do? Oh, she had a great week. That's nothing new. Talk about bias. Now look what they're doing to Ben Carson. Ben Carson made a great point. I mean, Barack Obama, forget about all the shady land deals and all the shade. They're looking at his credentials, whether he's lying. And they're looking, you know, Ben Carson brought up that his academic records, President Obama's academic records are sealed. Don't you think that you know, where's the parity in this?
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, we're asking you want to have the highest, office of election. Really? Well, then you would need to be asking Hillary Clinton the same question. Oh, no. Oh, she had a great week. That's all old news now, even though she was exposed as a huge liar in the campaign, if she is. And I still don't think she's going to be. I think this FBI investigation is serious stuff. And Obama hates the Clintons. I'm telling you, he does. Incidentally, they just lost their bid for the, you know, the massive, pen and phone. You know, I'm just going to make all these 5 million, 11 million illegals
Amnesty.
Legal. Amnesty. That no. And they just got beat down next court. So the judge did it. They appealed it to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, I think. Lost. We lost 2-1, and they used his own words. You know, more than 24 times he said, "I'm not a king, I'm not an emperor, I can't do this, I don't have that power." And they said, "Yeah, you're right, we agree with you."
That gave him
the problem.
They must have enjoyed that.
The what?
I'm just saying the judges must have enjoyed the opportunity to use Obama's own words against him. Obama going to say?
He's the one that sued. It's not, White House is doing it, and their attorneys are doing it, but it's Obama's executive action. He is the one. He's going to be the one that takes it to the Supreme Court. I don't see how they get it to the Supreme Court unless they fast track it before the end of his presidency. I don't know how they're going to do this. Because besides that, it's a tear. Once you go up to every time you lose a case, and then you go to the appeal process, and then you lose that, then you go to the Supreme Court. It's very difficult. Very difficult to defeat that logic.
The big point is that it will take so long typically to get to the Supreme Court that once the Fifth Circuit has said, nope, you can't do that, it may be that Obama is simply going to be stopped. He's going to run out of time in the White House.
They may say, sorry, we're not even going to hear it.
Before the case gets to the Supreme Court.
That's basically, the Supreme Court could say, if they don't hear it, that's basically the same as a summary judgment.
Yeah, pocket veto. Of a pocket veto, in a sense.
But people are being lied to, and therefore they're not, here's why they're being lied to. They want to have a good Christmas. They want people to buy. They don't want people to save. They don't want people to retract. They don't want people to protect themselves, and that is going to be the problem. The problem is going to be, and when people wake up, and somebody else wrote me and said, how long do you think it will take for people to wake up? And I'm answering these emails back to people. This is what I do in part is I answer people back, and I, try to give them, as long as they don't say something, nasty, terrible to me, then I just hit delete. But I told, this is a woman, Kathy, and she said, I would appreciate it if you could tell me, hold on a minute, let me just get this out of the way. Yes. I would appreciate it if you could tell me, what happens when, people in the know see the trajectory. I'm gonna kind of paraphrase this. My concern is the people who aren't paying attention. If you would add this question to a future interview, I would appreciate it. In other words, what happens when everybody wakes up at the same time? And everybody will wake up at the same time. That epiphany moment when, Noah was building the ark for 125 years, they were laughing at him. He was building it on dry land, and it never rained before until it rained on his head, and until it rained from the sky, water came up from the ground, and he's building a boat on dry land, a huge boat on dry land. And, of course, everybody chee-hee-tee-hee-tee-hee until, everybody wakes up at the same time. Well, I don't know if it's going to be as biblical as Noah, but I'm telling you, I don't know if it's going to, and here's what I wrote her back. And I said, Kathy, I don't know what it'll take for people to wake up. Maybe it'll be a bank, quote, holiday, unquote, a dirty bomb terror attack, a collapse of the bond market, an implosion of the one quadrillion derivative market, thus bank holiday. It could be war. There are so many things that could go bad, that could go bad quickly. Who knows? I do know things are getting weaker and weaker, and that means it's going to take less and less to implode the system. Think about that. I mean, look at the Baltic Dry Index. It's like one of the lowest it's ever been. Retail sales, some big bankers, big analysts and banks are blaming it on the unusually warm October weather. So it's getting weaker and weaker, and that means that it's getting less and less resilient to a shock, less and less resilient to a shock.
Does this have something to do with the employment report? And what I mean
if you drill down on the employment report, because they're thinking about raising interest rates, and if you
Well, here's my point. Is the employment report, are those legitimate numbers that came out
no,
in the last
week? According to John Williams, they are not legitimate numbers.
Are they intended to give us a happy Christmas? Are they there? Is the Christmas, if Christmas turns into, you've had Doug Casey on your program, and he said we're going to have, I believe it was Doug Casey, who said we're going to have a horrible Christmas.
That was Peter Schiff.
Is that enough of a black swan to
funny?
Collapse the system? Pardon me?
CNBC took that same exact headline. So tell me that they didn't look at my interview and ask the same question and try to get that and elicit that same headline. They got the same headline. I'm sure he said the same, some of the same things because his story's not going to change. But, you know, CNBC used that same headline. We're going to have a horrible Christmas. It was Peter Schiff.
But does that explain the great employment report? It could it be, and I'm just speculating, do you agree, disagree, can't say, is the employment report intended to make sure or try to make sure that we have a good Christmas? Because if we don't, is that enough to collapse the system?
It's all enough to collapse. There are so many things, Alfred, that could collapse the system. It's not even funny. But if you look down on the drill down, the employment report's part-time jobs, less than 29 mm-hmm. hours a week. It's low wages. You can't support a family. You can't buy a car. You can't buy a house. You can't buy a big screen TV. You know, it's subsistence level stuff. You have to have two jobs, not one job. They're 29 hours a week. They are low paying. They are temporary. They're hiring people for, you know, the mm-hmm. the department stores and things like that for temporary work. And then, in, you know, the second week in January, when they're all done sweeping the floors and getting ready, boom, they're out the door. And so will this be enough for the Fed to raise interest rates? I know the banks want to make more money on interest, but you have Christine Lagarde warning, who, incidentally, Christine Lagarde, the managing director of the IMF, used to be a head of a big law firm that did nothing but derivatives. I think she had a 2,700-person law firm. That's, you think, why? What's her experience? That's the ticket. She did nothing but derivatives. And she's warning, I don't know why she just can't pick up the phone, I've said this before, she's warning, you know, publicly, don't raise interest rates, and I think she's doing that so they don't get the blame. I what else? I think she could just call up the you know, hey, hon, hey, Janet, it's me, Christine, hey, sweetie, don't raise rates, honey. You know, I mean, it's a woman to a woman, and, you know, somebody nice to be polite. Hey, don't raise rates, girlfriend. Why don't she just do that? But no, she makes these public statements. And she, and these are both smart women, very smart women, as smart as any man or smarter. So I'm saying, why does she have to make these public statements? Because she's freaking out about the derivative question. I think that's the big elephant, the fly in the ointment. That the, you know, that the very small moves and also the bond market. I mean, if the bell rings and that's the low on the interest rates, expect Wall Street to front run each and every single trade. Sell, sell, sell on that. What happens to, you know, you can lose control of interest rates in a hurry. I don't care what the derivative exposure is. And then you have all these banks that are marking these, you know, these credit default swaps and saying, well, we got insurance. We can take all the risk we want. We insured it. Yeah, that worked great with AIG. Look at that. That was fabulous.
So we have about two minutes before we take our next break. You had Axel Merck on the program recently, and he talked about the probability of negative interest rates for the next 10 years. Do you agree with that? Is this part of the problem we're going to see with interest rates? Are they, and is it good for the economy, bad for the economy? What does it imply?
It's bad for the economy because it robs anybody that saves currency. So I don't know how you can have a currency with negative interest rates. If you have negative interest rates, and you're basically saying, hey, our money's worthless. You can't draw interest on it.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I mean, look what's gone on the last 7 years. Talk about robbery. I mean, I think Peter Schiff came up with this, that normalized interest rates would have rendered $400 billion a year in interest to people with bank accounts. And people would have spent that interest. And see, there's a downside to all this crap. And the downside is that you just took $400 a year out of the economy for the last 7 years. What is that, $2.8
trillion? And an honest $2.8 trillion.
Yes.
Not even a contrived, and $2.8 trillion to people who are rational enough, sensible enough to save money. These are a special breed of people. These aren't people who are too rich, are too big to fail, or too rich to jail. These are people that are smart enough to save their money. They would have had more money to spend, and presumably they might have done a better job than the government did by handing it over to the big banks. Let's take a break.
I mean, they were, you know, this is something else, and I haven't even been on. I haven't been on with this. You know, one of my good friends is Gregory Mannarino, and I put him on a lot, not just because he's my friend, because he's smart. He's very smart, Mannarino, and he points out to me. He says, "Hey, listen, you know, they're still doing this, right? And that means that this is an emergency action. They've been doing this since 2007, 2008. Emergency action, right? Emergency. So what they're saying by keeping interest rates at zero, or now Janet Yellen is hinting at having them go negative, this is we still have an emergency.
Yeah.
And I've been saying,
you know what the legal significance of an emergency is?
What's that?
The laws are suspended.
Well, they're totally
when you're suspended. In an emergency, the laws are suspended. You don't have to worry about a one-way street. You don't have to worry about speed limits and the rest of it. If somebody's shooting at you, you can drive as fast as you got to drive to save your life. That's what an emergency, and that's the great danger. When government establishes we're in an emergency situation, they are essentially saying the laws do not apply. We'll do whatever we got to do to support to survive.
Well, let's
take a break.
People don't even realize this. That
save. You go ahead and respond to this concept of emergency when we return. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest, Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. And when we broke for commercials, Greg was going to say something about emergency, if I understand correctly. Is that right, Greg?
Yes. And the point he was pointing out is that all this, I mean, think about this. This is a 7-year emergency deal.
Yeah.
This is a, you know, who knows what they're doing covertly behind the scenes with printing money and dollar swaps and whatever they're doing. Overtly, they have actually negative interest rates, even though they're 0 to 0.25%. Effectively, if you factor even the Fed's phony inflation, they're negative interest rates. And I am of the mind that, and Amanda Reno agrees with me, that either way, whatever they do, they've been doing this, playing this game for a while. I also want to talk about COMEX and the leverage. I want to talk about the 300-to-1 leverage in COMEX. You'll love this. No matter what they do in December, it's going to be a big downside. If they raise rates, I mean, Nomi Prins came on who gave a speech to the Fed and IMF and, BIS, I believe it, what it was, or the World Bank. But the Fed and the IMF were there. She said, if you raise rates, that's it. Party over. I mean, you know, ring the bell. That low on the, you know, the bond market, the rates are going to go up from here. You know, in 1980, rates did nothing but go down. Think about this on a long chart. 1980, Paul Volcker, people aren't going to buy gold. We're going to raise rates to 20%. Well, boom, man, since those days, 1980, all the way, look at a chart, all the way down, 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 down. Now we're bouncing along the bottom at 0%. They're thinking about taking this negative. I think that could be a huge, terrible red flag sign. That I think it's already a terrible sign. How long can you do that? How long can you be advertising, hey, our money's worthless?
Well, here's the question on that. You know, we're already at negative interest rates when you subtract inflation. All right, the question then is, how do we break the news to the public that this isn't news? This has been going on for some time. How do we tell the public, oh, guess what? We're going to have official negative interest rates rather than, you might say, implicit negative interest rates. Is that the problem, telling the public?
The reason why they haven't had implicit instead of, the reason they haven't had actual, you know, nominal negative interest rates, because I think that's really, really, really close to the end of the cycle. And there's so many things. That's why these war drums are beating. Keller Office Fitz said something very scary, and she said, no collapse, and just before we do, we'll go to war. Now, that is scary. And look what's happening as things getting worse and worse, and the headlines worse and worse. What happened, what I think in December, the 15th, 16th, I think is the FOMC meeting, the Fed meeting, no matter what they do, there's going to be a negative reaction to no interest rates, OMG, the economy really does suck, and you guys don't have any credibility, or they raise it 0.25%, and oh my, OMG, what are you doing? You're crazy, and the derivative market unwind. I don't know. But I think it's going to be a negative reaction. They're just getting to the point where no matter what they do, it's not a good going to be a good reaction. That's A. And I want to talk about COMEX, but before we move on, I don't know what we do to tell the public. I mean, if you're that stupid, this is the problem, is that a lot of people are just not going to wake up until they wake up. And when they wake up, when it hits them in the face, there's going to be chaos, pandemonium. Maybe this is what they want. I don't know. So they can have martial law. You know, do something and they'll have martial law. I don't know. I have no idea. But when it goes, it's going to go quick. And it's going to go fast, and it's going to go ugly, and everybody thinks everybody will run to the grocery store. Really, what are they going to pay with? They're going to go into the grocery store and do what? They're going to pay with what? Well, then they'll just be rioting and looting, and because they won't, all their credit cards are going to not work. Their ATM cards are not going to work, and there's going to be damn few people with cash. I mean, if you go out to a restaurant and ask your waitress, how often do people actually pay with cash? Are you going to get 10%? I don't know, 15%. Something like that's what waitresses will say. They love people that pay for cash, incidentally. Most people don't pay with cash anymore. And the long and short of all this is that I don't know what's going to cost people to wake up. And it could be, there's so many things that could go sour. So many things that could push an already weakening and continually weakening system. Things are not getting stronger or stabilized. They're not. Yeah. It's weakening. All the overt evidence is weakening. And
Let me just do this real quick. It's not a coincidence that they're hiring this Kashkari to be president of the Minneapolis Federal Reserve today. I mean, he was the brainchild of the TARP program, the Troubled Asset Relief Program. I mean, he was all behind that. He's a Goldman Sachs guy. There's three or four Goldman Sachs in there that are all head of the Federal Reserve. But it's not coincidence that he's bringing this in, that he's coming in at this point in time. So it all fits, and
But also in Europe, they're making it the law that they can take your funds to bail out banks, and this is a story on Zero Hedge that they have a few holdouts in Sweden and other places where they're saying, no, we're not signing on. Oh no, everybody has to sign on. This has to everybody, because all the banks are interconnected. They can't have some banks not being able to steal people's deposits to stop the hemorrhaging. And
that's
they
the
want
problem.
The currency to be worth something, so they'll just steal your money. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, and I want to talk about COMEX, and everybody, and all your listeners probably listen to this, and let's just spend a minute on this, and I'm going to credit this with Craig Hemke, who's going to be on tonight. And he was telling me about the 300-to-1 leverage, 293-to-1, 300-to-1 leverage, 300 paper contracts for every paper ounces of gold and paper contracts for every 1 ounce of physical gold. And I think I had Eric Sprott on. He was talking about how, you know, it takes about $150 million or so to buy all this inventory that is, you know, scheduled, that is eligible to deliver. And I was talking about how this is just really this, the COMEX, which is where gold is traded and prices are set globally, is just really a theater of fraud. And, you know, remember when it was 100-to-1 leverage? You know, that got exposed at some CFTC meeting, and then, 100-to-1 leverage, you know, and then there was 200-to-1 leverage, and now it's 300-to-1 leverage, and I had Craig Hemke on. And what out came in this interview was, yes, it's fraud, and it's just, and they're suppressing the demand. I said, hold on a minute. So you're telling me that this 300-to-1 leverage is not just an expression of fraud. It is an expression of fraud to thwart the overwhelming, unparalleled demand in the gold market. Yes. And it's been going on for about 2 months. It's 300-to-1. Now, the gold hasn't moved anywhere, as you know. I mean, a very small range at 11-something, 1090, 1080 to 1150. I mean, it's very small, narrow range. Why are people buying this? Who is buying all this? And he says, we're getting close to the end. That's the other big headline. He says, I'm not going to predict the end of the world. You'll only be right once. Craig Hemke said this. Good idea. I'm predicting the end of the world. I'm telling you what's happening and how bad it's happening. And if I had some good news to tell you that we were paying off some debt and retiring debt and things were getting better, I would report it. But the 300-to-1 leverage has said, Craig, you got to hit that. You're looking at this the wrong way. You're looking at this like, it's 300-to-1 leverage and fraud. No. It's showing a signal of massive, unparalleled demand. That's what 300-to-1 leverage in the COMEX is showing. Massive demand.
Well,
and
one
that's
other
what's
point.
Going on.
One other question. If we're going to have 300 ounces of paper gold being sold in the COMEX market for every 1 ounce that's available for trade, is this evidence of the power of the people in positions of power? They can do this. They can do 300-to-1. They can do 500-to-1. They can do 1,000-to-1. Is this evidence of power, or is it evidence of desperation?
It's both. It's power and desperation, but this only goes on until they can no longer deliver. And that is the game we've been playing with Libya, for example, you know, the 144 tons of gold, which is what, half of what Great Britain has gone. Poof, where'd that go? Into the market, probably. China has it melted into, you know, metric bars. Or the gold that you heard about, you know, being, you know, the 40 tons in, Ukraine. That's gone. I mean, who knows whose accounts have any money? Who knows whose accounts they choose to have any gold? Well, gold is money. But who knows who has their actual gold in holding? That's why people like, Matterhorn Capital Management, Egon von Graers, you know your gold is there. It's not being leveraged in a phony market, a phony fraudulent, you know, a theater of fraud. That's what the LBMA is. That's what COMEX is. Clearly, that's what it is. Now, the financial press won't cover this because what do they say? It's okay. It's 300-to-1 leverage. It's what do they say? They just ignore. This is the lie by omission that mainstream media does, whether it's financial press or whatever. Like, we're not going to ask Hillary Clinton any questions about her being outed as a liar in her own words. We're not going to ask, President Obama, hey, why are your transcripts still sealed? You spent a couple of $1 million sealing your college transcripts. You know, Dr. Ben Carson, a world-renowned pediatric neurosurgeon. I mean, let's take a really hard, you know, medical discipline, neurosurgery, and let's miniaturize it. Let's make it for kids. I mean, he was world-renowned. I mean, it's shameful, the crap. They called this thing at CNN an investigation. Whoa, I know what an investigation looks like. That's a hack. That is a hack. There is no way that standards in legal and the people that I work with applied the same standards to that we couldn't find anybody, therefore he's a liar. It's unbelievable. That's really outrageous. And so I guess what I'm saying is that this This is coming to a close, Alfred. Yes, it is desperation. Yes, it is power, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the bankers got their way. They wanted derivatives with no, kind of, you know, accounting standards, no kind of, regulation, no guarantees. I mean, look what happened. We got our first blow up. They got exactly what, it's like a kid saying, I want to eat nothing but chocolate chip cookies and sodas and cakes and candies and, hey, that's great until you die. And the bankers got their little sugar rush. They got everything they wanted, and now they're in deep, deep stuff because they're so damn greedy. There's nobody there as a regulator, as any kind of regulation, any kind of, hey, wait, hold on a minute, stop. And they bought all the governments of the world, and that's why we're in the shape we're in.
Yeah.
So this gold thing only happens and only goes on as long as they have something to deliver. That game only goes on, and I think Catherine Austin Fitz is right. At the moment, they think they're going to be losing control. I mean, you know, some nuke goes off somewhere, some ship gets sunk, I don't know.
But that'll be an excuse and the other thing,
this never happened in recorded history.
Bad things.
This is what we're saying. There is no time where you can go back in history. Oh, yeah, in 1056, this happened back. No. Oh, back in the 30s. Oh, please, lot. No, this didn't happen then. Oh, back in the, no, this never happened. Well, back in the days of Noah. Yeah, there you go. As in the days of Noah. Isn't that what it says in the Bible?
Yes.
That's what this is. This is going to be a paradigm change. This is not a trade. The person, well, you know, if you told me the wrong thing and not the last five, what's 5 years in something that's never happened in 5,000 years?
Yeah.
Look at it not happening as a gift, because it's going to happen.
We've got a guest. You had talked to Bill Holter recently.
Yes.
And he was, the headline in your article is China could reprice gold to $100,000 per ounce. That's Bill Holter's opinion. I'm going to be much surprised to see $100,000 gold. I can expect $5,000, $10,000, maybe $20,000, maybe $50,000. I don't expect $100,000.
Well, okay.
Where do you come in on that?
How do you account? Stop for a minute. How do you account for the $20,000 cash deficit we have right now? $20,000 trillion. A trillion is $1,000 billion. Are you fully taking that in? Lawrence Kotlikoff, professor of economics at Boston University.
I'm aware. I'm aware, but I think the debt will disappear.
We really have $200 trillion. Of liabilities, $200 trillion in liabilities. So anybody saying I'll be surprised that stop. Please account for how we're going to do that $20 trillion.
Oh, we're not
going to. How we have a quadrillion in derivatives.
No, it'll wipe out all of the paper assets, and that's what'll be.
That's the official number. I think we're going to get both. They're going to print money for some and let other people fail. It's going to be a carnival of inflation and deflation. It'll be unbelievable, unlike anything that you could ever imagine happening. So I don't know I don't even know if the dollar will be around at $100,000 gold. It'll be like confetti. It might be like Confederate dollars.
Oh,
I don't know.
I agree with that. I mean, it becomes, but it's interesting. It's mind boggling. And that's the kind of time we're in right now where things are so strange. Nothing seems impossible.
Well, $100,000 gold, you know, a loaf of bread may be, you know, $40,000.
There's the problem. We're talking about hyperinflation. Yeah, we can see $100,000 gold, but not $100,000 in roughly in terms of today's dollars. We've got about 20 seconds left. Greg, would you like to advertise this evening's program?
It'll come on after midnight. It's Craig Hemke. If you wanted to hear, a really smart guy. He runs TF Metals Reports. Craig Hemke, got 20 years experience in Wall Street. And during the middle of our interview, it's just like, whoa, wait a minute, hold on. You're telling me that this is a reflection of extreme demand, not just extreme fraud. He goes, yes, extreme fraud, trying to suppress the extreme demand. That's why it's extreme. And that is a marker, my friends. That's not, you know, anything I tell you is not a trade. It's a marker.
The end is near, and also for this program, today's program, the end is here. We're out of time. Greg, I want to thank you for being on the program. It's Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Recommend you all visit his website, take a look at his interviews. They're some of the finest on the internet today. Greg, thank you for being on the program. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Greg, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.